I sent you the video of firefighting with UFOs from 2014, where what I experienced was a light ship was caught on camera on the Canadian news. And a day later I showed up on that very site as a firefighter, leading a crew. And then secretly under the firefighter I was doing grid work, healing the earth and working with the energy lines. So sacred work. So in that experience I had a 3 or 4 day experience of communicating with these beings, doing grid work on healing the bad things that were going on in that area, and then experiencing a weather anomaly, where I was instructed 3 days before and what to do. And a weather anomaly, what I experienced was the lake humidifying into a huge storm cloud and then dumping rain down onto the fire, putting it out completely. And had to evacuate the mountain, it rained so hard. To give you an idea of how that timeline sort of looks, before we go further into some of the lightship stories. So those experiences led to 2016, and where I had quite the lightship experience. You'll like this one. So notice, these experiences, for those who are new to this or those who've had these experiences that know about it, it's quite profound. You have a lot of symbolism and symbols before E and after, point being. They can see time, past, present and future, so they'll drop symbols in. And one of these symbols was the date December 5th, 2016, which was a heads up for, I think it was Toya's later 2017 to December 5th, the funeral of a famous president, where somebody got some notes. It was on the 5th of the 17th of December, and this was December 5th, 2016. So I didn't know that then, but my point being there'll be a bunch of symbols in this, that come in. So I'm sitting in my house, this is commonly how my experiences go. And I'll get what I call a tap in my shoulder. It's not a literal tap on shoulder, but it's a telepathic message, saying come outside. So I got the tap on the shoulder and I went outside, and I looked around and I said, where are you? And they said, look, to the Pleiades, and there's the Pleiades, shining bright so beautiful. Boom, there's a ship, there's a light ship, and I go, oh hello, you know. And I'm very friendly with these energies. They've been round me for quite some time, so it's like an old friend. And I was very excited and I said, hello, you know, nice to see you. And I joked, are you coming down? Because usually it's just a few blinks in the sky. And they whiz off to another place. In this time what I witnessed was, you're looking up into the sky, it would be like a very bright star like Venus, and then I saw this light ship, corkscrew down at a very slow rate. So picture a light white ball, spiraling down slowly from the Pleiades right into my backyard. So my backyard at that time was a huge mountainside. It was a wild land on the side of a mountain, cliffs and stuff like it at. It's very beautiful off the grid nature natural setting. So the ship is spiraling down into my backyard and I'm like, oh my god, this is happening. I've dreamed of this day every light ship, UFO person has dreamed of this experience, and it was happening to me. And my wife at that time was sleeping in the house, or I should say, she was meditating, and this will make more sense later, I just wanted to mention that. So the ship comes down, and what I'm looking at is an orange ball, 100 feet across. So a luminous orange ball, 100 feet across. And then it turns off this arranged sphere, this 100-foot orange ball, and there is a ship, as plain as day and right in front of me. The most beautiful elegant ship you've ever seen. I've never seen a ship like it. I'll explain it all. So the normal sort of UFO shape where you've got a disc and then a hump on top, it was that, but the curve was so elegant, you could barely see the hump on top. And then the sides that would normally go down to a point became smooth rounded edges, like a very elegant sculpture, something so out of this world, and so familiar, it was absolutely extraordinary. So there I am staring at a ship. And the occupant of the ship has certain telepathic leeway with me, so they can signal me to know something. And what they did is, they got me laughing my ass off, because the field from this ship is very powerful. When you get right next to them, it's extremely powerful and it can disturb your body. And I've learned that the painful way with trying to be helpful, showing people the UFO anthe go a little nuts when they get too close. So there's a ship and there's the occupant inside the ship communicating with me, and I'm seeing a full metal ship, like it's completely metal. It had some lights that would go around it, but you could not see lights. It was just emanating through the metal. And then that stopped and this 110 window just appeared. So there's like metal there on the top of the UFO hump, and then there's a indo there. All of a sudden it opens up and there's a backlit figure, a human figure looks exactly like my frame, so you know I'm not looking at a squid person or something like that. It's just it's a normal human, being so that was easy to take, because I'm in a high stress moment. As fantastic as it sounds, it's very shocking on the senses. And this being started waving the ship, so it wobbled like a saucer on the ground, does that make sense? Sort of rotating like that. And I was like, what are you doing? You're like you're gonna crash right next to the ground. And he sort of laughed at me, he was waving. My father, when used to be a pilot, my father would fly over my head and wave his wing, so this ship was sort of connecting to that essence of hello, here I am, ha ha ha. Yes. And then we got into some really intense stuff. There was instruction on certain universal paradigms, nothing too fancy, but simple stuff, that I was working on this on the time. I was having some trouble with my heart and opening up my heart, and I was very interested in a diamond hearts conversation in my head about opening my heart into a crystallized form. So I was learning about this subject and working on it at the time. And this ship projected an image of a diamond light, piercingly white diamond appeared in front of the ship, and then escalated into very bright light, but like a sword, like a single spire of white light. And that was a signal to me, that this is the correct direction, keep moving in these paradigms. And there are a couple other secret things, personal things, I won't share on that. But it was quite profound and touching for what felt like a family member coming down to me. Then I also noticed, this ship seemed to know me, and that was very confusing at first. So I'd heard about organic technology and in some of the circles out there, but I didn't really have a good reference for it. So when this ship was, it felt like a pet, it felt like a good friend, and this is a very advanced piece of technology. I got a peek. Get a glimmer of what this machine could do. But the point in that I wanted to make is, I think it might have been tuned to my DNA specifically. Very interesting. Then as the occupant was teaching me, I was so excited, I wanted to share it with my wife. So I ran inside the door, said get out here quickly, very panicked. So she would know that you know there's a something very serious out there. And she ran to the door and as soon as her hand touched the door handle, a vortex opened up and it was gone. It went off, it was a star all of a sudden. It was there, it went to the vortex, it was gone. So it was just meant for me, as I mentioned earlier. These experiences, although I may want to share them at time, they're not necessarily meant for other people, specifically for the individual. Add that December 5th, 2016 set off the events up to this present point, as we all know we've been through some pretty amazing global events. Elena, what really appeals to me in your story, is the similarities with so much of my personal experiences with this type of ship. When I was rescued at the age of 9 by people from Thepliards, it was the same ship. It appeared first, it appeared in the glowing orange haze and the ship then and when it speeded up. Before it speeded up and it went like this in the sky, it changed color from orange to yellow and white. But the sheep was exactly as you describe it. It was a flying saucer, but very elegant. With a bump under and above, bump under. But the bump under was really barely visible, very slight and on the top it was very elegant. And the most approaching picture I could find is this one, but it was more elegant than that even. So and it was Pleiadian people inside. Oh that just makes my heart gush when you say that, to identify Elena. Yes, this was a scout ship from the Federation. They told me afterwards, and it was a mixed crew but it was Pleiadian technology. And as well they explained to me, because I had many contacts afterwards throughout the years. And they showed me a few technical things about this ship. And effectively they told me, that the ship is alive. It's allotted with consciousness, it's not an entity, but it's conscious and it's in relay, it's connected to the consciousness of the pilot. That's how they navigate. And when you say, a pet, it's the feeling I got when I was inside one day when this extraterrestrial being, who rescued me, showed me, was the captain of this ship. He, 111, showed me, he made me sit in the seat, pilot seat, and said to me, you can't do it, because you don't have the connection, but this ship is alive. And the way was talking, it was as well mental, mind communication as well. I could feel the sheep and I had this thought, ooged like a pet like that you drive, you know that, and that carries you. So, yes, amazing. Anything else you want to say about this experience with ship? X, let's just continue with that story. I have a lot of stories. Let's just continue with this one. So that was what happened after this story, I've just expressed to you. That was what happened after, and this is what happened before. So as I mentioned, I was living an off-the-grid, straw bale timber frame home. I built with my partner out in the bush, and it was just the most beautiful place you could imagine. You know, jagged mountain peaks above, below, all around you. So these these natural areas, the forest itself is sort of landlocked, which means it's some of the last refuges for animals, such as cougars, lynx, bobcats and bears and all the other friends of the forest, deer and some of the forest people. They call them Sasquatch, but I call them Forest Keeper. And this would be for people who aren't familiar with this energy, this would be the steward of the forest, the bush boss. The bush boss knows everything what's going on in the bush. And they just happen to like our friends, who fly in ships and communicate with them, which I didn't fully know right around this time. I'm mentioning I sort of made the solid affirmation and connection that these two entities are working together, heaven and earth is unified through this alliance. And I think, it must have been about 5 or 6 years, I've been working with this Forest Keeper energy. So that involved grid work of sending my prayers out onto the land and around the globe. And for those who aren't familiar with that, picture yourself, standing in front of a mountainside, and then you could look at the mountain and take a snapshot of it, and then go into it with consciousness, sort of like this remote viewing, or by location. Rain dance would be another example of this, where you become one with the forest in a very big way, and you can find things. And that came that was very handy for my employment in the past as well as for mentioned. But back to the story, working with this Force Keeper energy, doing grid work, I'm putting prayers into the earth on me land and it happened to be a ceremonial night. I'm sure the moon was at its perfect point or something and I was out there with my feathers and my white-tailed deer horns, praying to the Pachamama, praying to the Mother Earth. Working with these forest energies and these star energies. And at that time there was a very troubling carrier wave, coming over the grid through the human consciousness and mind. So I was very adamant about healing the world, and just a great urge, a great need to save this world ourselves, all of that. So I was putting down my prayers into the earth with this on a special earth node, a ley line point, like the nervous system pressure points of the body on earth. And I said my people are anchored in the earth, thinking of all these people that are you working at this time, to heal the earth. And it must have been 100 ships, it looked like 100 ships. It's hard to tell when these moments happen. Consciousness gets heightened, senses escalate, you can see and hear in different ways. I'd call it the avatar state or something like that. It's very amazing, seeing yourself in that space. It's sort of like taking the veil off 3D and you're in the 5D or some metaphor like that. So I had hundreds of ships were crawling above my head. I guess they wanted to see what I was doing, was making some profound, a profound effect, some profound effect for whatever prayer as we are coming on. And keep in mind, it's not just me doing this, it's me and these energies I'm working with. I don't want to make myself out to be something I'm not. I am just a normal human. And all of a sudden, for anyone who's seen the Northern Lights or Aurora Borealis, sometimes these moments produce what looks like the Northern Lights. It's an energy, coming from the heaven in a green flare, and it whips around like a little ribbon in the sky. Well, this happened that night, but it wasn't a little ribbon in the sky. It looked like the whole sky lit up in green flame for a moment. It looked like being under the ocean with the waves rolling across your head, except it was green Northern Lights. And I've had this happen to me one other time before, so I sort of got a sense of what this means on a grid worker, UFOs are everywhere kind of scale, laughter, 112, so I somehow sort of knew what to do. And so that was the precursor to that lightship corkscrewing down from the Pleiades, and suggesting to go with the Diamond Light and all the other things, he spoke to me, and the initiation of this path, that we're on right now, which I did not understand at that time. I knew something was up, but I didn't know what we're about to face as a society, as a culture. So back to I made the original statement about the December 5th and December 17th, or I might have that wrong, maybe it was the 18th. December 5th, where the popular president had the notes passed around who died. Same date, interesting coinciding. So that was a heads up towards this symbolic ana, that would lead into our present moment, which we're understanding more clearly now as a direction. As a grid worker, I'm kind of a hunter. I fly around and sniff things out, I hunt for things, I look for disharmonies, I look for places that I can ankylite or resolve an issue. You know, let's say there's a fire here, September I think, right in my backyard, 20 kilometers away we had a huge forest fire. And as a grid worker and a firefighter, I wasn't on site at this fire this year, but I was 20 kilometers away, it were from that angle. And you just feel this harmonies, when the fire burns, you feel the memories come out. And I'll give a quick story about that. The women of the mountain this mountain that burned 100 years ago or more, was a native village, and you could imagine the horrible stories of what happened to that native village. So as the fire's burning, these memories are releasing, and I would project myself to listen to some of these stories, and its visions of the women of the tribe and the atrocities that were done there, and the men of the tribe and the atrocities that were done the dot. And one night I was sharing what I felt with my neighbor about what I just spoke to you. You know, I was telling him this story of the women, up high on the mountain, we're on the rock, and they were scared, and just speaking their story to my friend in real time. And after the story was done, you both spoke of resolve and peace to the mountain, and the heart coming out of the mountain, the love coming out of the mountain. And then we had a couple ships come over and fire some sort of laser into that spot we're speaking of. So there, we are having. So there we are having this playful dialogue. He thought it was hilarious, he didn't know what to make of it, because it's quite profound when your, let's say, childhood fantasy story has a profound physical real-time event, and you know, wait, the exact moment you end the story, a ship flies in and shoots that spot you're talking about. Beauty, it makes sense from a grid worker point of like, you hit spot, that's the target release, let that be done, let the timelines or whatever story is working in that experience be healed, you know, release the pressure, release the tension, release the heat. Elena, you had obviously a connection with, because you are connected to the grid of the earth. Probably it was easy for you to be connected to the ship working. You know this ship, I know, there's some of them working on the grid of the earth, the upper layer, atmospheric layer. So it's connected to the ground, as we always say, as above so below. And you, if you're in connection with the ground, I suppose you're also in connection with the projection of the grid in orbit of Earth. And this sheep as well, you are totally able to see them. It's fascinating, it really is, and I'm just as curious on who the heck am I, as I'm piecing this story together. I on rea journey for that as well, because it's quite to have sort of vague inclinations towards shamanism or whatever your practice is. And then things happen where you might brush it off to the side, say, oh yeah, that time where we saw the green column of green flame, shooting up into the sky. all three of us together and I sort of get a sense of what that means, and the two other people are complete lion shock and will never speak of it ever again. You know, as an example of the profound reality stat we bump into along this path and to realize like, wow, we individuals eyes and individuals can do profound things which would almost seem like we're coming into a time of legends or something of such, where we activate into these spaces, where these abilities become more and more pronounced, and we can teach each other to escalate them, Elena. Yes, listen, this totally makes sense to me. It's times the times of the prophecies, all the prophecies, it's now, it's a portal, you know, we it's the in-between moment, it's like dawn or dusk, it's 113, the portal, the precise liminal moment be in between two different things, levels or eras, it's when a portal opens and I you probably know. I'm a shaman as well. I've been training in Germany since I'm a child and I've always been able to see these things. And so I'm really know very well to talking about, and shamans are travelers. We are able to transcend planes of densities, interdimensional. Sometimes we can't do that, and that's why it's easy for our friends upstairs. Well, as I call to communicate with us and to make themselves visible to us, because it's easy for us and it's easy as well for us to remote view or to goot of our avatar, our flesh, and just go wherever we want. It's something we do naturally, so it's easy for them to communicate with beings like us. I suppose you were talking about the hunter and the keeper of the woods. This is totally my druid traditions, because I studied to be a druid as well, and this we had there, is an archetype entity, which is called the hunter, it's caninos, the garden, the lord of wildlife, the keeper of the forest, and it's a shaman entity. It's an archetype with a deer horn. It's the stag man. And he's the stag and he's the shaman. He keeps the tree of knowledge, the shamanic tree, the portal. And he protects all the wildlife and the animals. It's called as well the lord of the animals and the hunter, not the hunter that kills the animals, but the hunter, the quest seeker, you know, the vision quest, adventurer hunter for answers, you know. And you're in Canada and you're with these local legends, not legends but connection, and I'm in Ireland and I know, we have the same understanding, and it is really fascinating. Sir Nonos, this is the Greek version, normal version, everybody knows him, but the Celtic name is Hearn. X, I was working, I've done some healing work for friends occasionally in the past, and I had a dear friend, who was having some troubles, and I wished to do some work with the forest, with the forest keeper and him. It involved his past and his childhood and his timelines of the past. So long story short, I found out, I identified a target within him, which was reptilian, which I saw a reptoid with, they're about 5 feet tall, they have a little hump on their nose, just a little bump. It's not the big giant, crazy chicka or whatever you call them. So those guys which I wasn't familiar with, I knew about them. But there it was. I identified the target and I said, do not initiate contact with this target, it's bad. And then I saw this entity and I was like, oh my god, this is getting very real, you know, my suspicions were correct. And then we did some pretty intense removal clearing work with that energy, and the person I was doing the healing work on saw me with this elk antler head thing. You speak of sort of this, it's what it's also called, the green man in some mythologies, things like this. So this druidic shamanic creature had inhabited this aspect of me and whining through, which it feels like at the time when the muse or the spirit comes through me, I definitely feel some of these frequencies come through, and it was amazing. It felt exactly perfect for what a human needs to be like in that space, just in tune with the stars, the forest, few water, reading everything, breathing everything, you know, breathing light and just extremely powerful, it feels pretty profound when those things happen. Elena, it's for the knowledge, the real knowledge to connect with and be the subject you want to know, and that's when you really know about, you know. It's the knowledge of the heart of the soul, it's not the you can read whatever you want in the books or on internet X, nature and the stars instructing you one step at a time. Elena, One of the reason why I want to invite you to share your experience, also was about a less fun subject, but which is a very instructive, the DUMS, the deep underground military bases. You've been telling me that you have been and remote viewing and as well interacting with the operation in the dumps. Some of effects your experiences are of actual battle scenes during these operations and in major cities. Would you please explain? 114x, let's roll the time back to December 5th, 2019. So December 5th, 2019, Christmas Day before the coronavirus. I remember it was flu season at the time, and there was a real nasty flu going around and I had some time off for Christmas, a couple weeks and took a much needed break, and it was a lonely Christmas day. And I walked outside and I looked up into the beautiful starry sky, and I made a joke. I said, oh kind of a lonely Christmas night, maybe somebody'll come by and visit and give me a little present. And then I heard in my head, hang on, okay we'll be there in a couple minutes. So I ran back inside, got my winter clothes, ran outside and looked in anticipation to the sky. And I'm looking up and I'm looking up looking up. A couple minutes go by and I'm like, are you guys joking around, like come on like am I just out here by myself, and I am looking up, a couple of minutes, I look to the pleasures, I'm waiting, waiting, looking at the bleachers, waiting. I'm like, come on, like what's the deal here? It goes turn around. I turn around and I see what appeared to be a flotilla of ships, a fleet of ships in the sky. And I just want to mention to Thaddeans first, I'm very familiar with Starlink, I've seen it a bunch of time and this was not that dot. So you're seeing a line of ships in the sky, going in a straight line, traveling from the west to the east. And some were moving the opposite direction, but most of them were moving in a straight line. And I was in awe, because I just had someone tell me, they were going to come by in a ship, to give me a surprise for Christmas, and now I'm looking at what appears to be an entire fleet of ships. And to give you an idea of the length, it was about 10 minutes long this thing rolled by. And 40, 50 ships, I didn't count. But there was a ton of them. So I'm looking up and I was like, this is amazing. There really is a war going on. And I just felt compelled to put my hand up to the sky and said, I salute you. You know, captain salute kind of thing. I salute you. And an orange ship manifested right above the fleet and said, no, I salute you. And I just started crying right there. I knew something was up. When he stayed back. So that was my Christmas present. And I'd been preparing myself since midsummer 2019 for a mission on the Australian continent in Uluru, which happens to be a very special energetic spot of the Earth. And I'd had a shaman friend, who is physically traveling to Uluru for a shaman ceremony physically on the ground. So I was preparing myself to project myself there and join in with the shamans for the prayer, because I knew it was really really important. So that led us all into when we had the fires. We all had the fires in Australia and the places burning to the ground. And I started doing my prayers, as I was doing my prayers from here in Canada, they were doing their prayers on the ground there in Australia and these energies were mixing. Elena, I remember that yes X, and then as I'm doing these prayers LL hint since remember back to the working with the weather and working with ships. Like I was expressing in the firefighting experience, where the ship shot a little piece of fire laser into the fire, when we were talking. So I'm doing my prayers from Canada, he's doing his prayers on the ground, and there's other parties involved which I'm not seeing, but I'm aware of and we were having profound weather of anomalies and events, which would include like hurricane, force winds, heavy lightning and thunder. And I was also watching on satellite radar to calibrate what was happening on the ground, to put together the whole story of we're affecting the weather in a profound way. And I could feel the population rising. How could you not if you're on the ground and you're seeing your homes burning and there's rain coming, you're going to be praying for rain. People have been doing that for thousands of years, and it's a very natural part of the human psyche to bring that balance into our ecosystems. So that led to a bunch of fantastic stories with Australia, and we all put the fires out. And the classic crowning moment was when the Prime Minister got on television and specifically demanded for everyone to stop praying for rain. Do you remember that? He told us to stop. So I knew it was working.